We've got on the line Professor John Swinton, and he's speaking to us from Aberdeen in the UK. G'day, John.
Good day.
Thanks for talking to us tonight. Or is it evening or morning where you are?
Well, it's midday. It's lunchtime.
Right. And so you're just back from church.
I'm just back from church and I'm fantasizing about lunch.
That's great. Well, we won't hold you off lunch for long, but you're coming out here in a couple of weeks to talk at us on a seminar on Alzheimer's and dementia. And you're going to canvass the issues of faith and dementia. And I was excited when I heard that you were coming because you've written quite substantially on this, but particularly this book, Living in the Memories of God. And I wanted to ask you particularly if you could take us through this idea that if I call on the name of the Lord, I'll be saved, but how can I call on his name if I can't remember his name?
That's a very good question. One of the things about dementia is that it's always perceived as profoundly negative. And one of the reasons it's perceived as profoundly negative is because we get this idea that somehow when we have damage to our brain, when we can't remember things, when we can't cognate in particular ways, we somehow lose who we are. And so you hear that in people's language, he's not the person that she used to be, or he would never have done that. That kind of backward-looking understanding of what it means to be who you are. And so we have a kind of understanding of ourselves, who we are in ourselves, which is autobiographical. Now, by that I mean that as long as we can tell our own story, then the assumption is that we are who we are. But if we forget or can no longer tell our own story, then somehow, in Western perceptions anyway, we seem to lose the person that we are. Now, what's interesting for me, and this is where living in the memories of God kind of comes to the fore, is that when we look at Scripture, and when we begin to reflect on the way in which human beings are portrayed in Scripture, we don't choose who we are. We're always told who we are. We're told who we are as human beings. We're told who we are as individuals. It's not our choice, and it's not our memory that makes us who we are. It's God's memory that makes us who we are, because God is always the one who tells us who we are and constantly tells us who we are. So when we come to that stage in our lives when we begin to perhaps forget some of our own story in that sense, there's nothing that indicates in Scripture that suggests that God forgets you. And if God is the locus of who you are, then, you know, that doesn't change when you've forgotten who you are in that sense. So that's the essence of what I'm trying to push towards, that our identity is always safe in the hands of God.
And so if I could just kind of reflect back what I think I've heard you say, the important thing is that God knows me rather than I know God.
That's exactly right. And when you become a Christian, you know, your identity is in Christ. Your identity is no longer determined by who you are or who you used to be. Who you are is always in Christ. So when Christians talk about themselves, first and foremost, who you are is defined by who you are in Jesus. And who you are in Jesus is not a choice, it's something that, you know, you participate in through the power of the Spirit. So you're always safe in that sense.
Yeah. How did you first get interested in this subject, John?
Well, my background is in nursing. I worked for a number of years, or 16 years, as a mental health nurse, working with people with long-term psychiatric conditions, including people with advanced dementia. And then I retrained and spent some time working with people with intellectual disabilities. And then I worked as a mental health chaplain. And my job, it was interesting, my job when I was a mental health chaplain was working with people who were coming out of long-term institutional care and trying to find a spiritual home for them. Unfortunately, you know, for highly stigmatized conditions like mental health conditions like dementia, churches can be equally as stigmatizing and equally misunderstand the essence of what it means to be a human being as anybody else. And so my task was to work with religious communities and try to break down some of these stigmatic barriers. And so when I came into academia, I really began to think about that in a different context. I mean, the way I frame it is that my nursing was my place of formation. It formed me to be a certain type of person and to see the world in a particular way. And my theology is my place of vocation, where I work out what that means in relation to what God wants me to do within the academy. academy.
Hmm. And so what's the reaction that you get from the secular academic as you talk to them about what you've just said to us?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, there are controversies and disagreements over kind of theological elements of what I'm talking about. But when it comes to rethinking and reframing dementia and beginning to realize that some of the negative ways which most of society frames dementia, we have common agreement. Mm-hmm. Because it's very clear that dementia is certainly, obviously, it's a neurological condition. But it's a neurological condition that affects the brain. And within our culture, the brain is really important for who you are and what it means to be a human being. Because, you know, as soon as you meet somebody, you'll say, what do you do? And then you kind of place them on an intellectual hierarchy of importance depending on what they do. That's kind of just one of the things that we have a tendency to do. So if you have anything that affects your brain, your intellect, your cognition, then it really pushes into your citizenship, your ability to function properly within society, and your ability to ultimately be fully human in that sense.
Mm.
When it comes to these issues, you'll find that psychiatrists, psychologists, mental health professionals all see that as a problem, or many of them see that as a problem. So there's always common ground in there. When it comes to the theological issues, of course, everybody has a different perspective, different opinion. But I find for the most part, people are not excluding of that. They respect that.
Mm. Hey, could you describe to us kind of best practice for a church on caring for people with dementia?
Yes. Best practice, I think, is to, in a sense, shift your focus away from simply pastoral care in the sense of what can we do for this poor person and begin to talk differently about this individual because, you know, someone with advanced dementia who's a Christian and who's beginning to forget many, many things remains a disciple.
Mm.
And disciples always have a vocation. So my advice to congregations would be to begin to use the language of discipleship and vocation around people with dementia and see what that looks like. What does it mean to ask the question, what's the vocation of someone with advanced dementia? What is it God has called them to do in this latter stage of their life? And if you begin to frame the issues in that way, then it becomes much more creative, but also ultimately much more faithful, because we don't cease being disciples simply because we forget certain things.
Mm. Hey, John, thanks very much for talking to us tonight.